Chapter 31. Rebirth. "Are you coming out?" the two men in the extra-dimensional chamber heard from a familiar voice.
"Jarlaxle,"
Entreri confirmed, peering out the small window to the region immediately below. He dropped the rope and scrambled outside the pocket dimension, sliding down to the ground, Wulfgar close behind. When he went out, Wulfgar saw that it was indeed Jarlaxle, and he was not alone, both Regis and Zachnefane beside him.
"How?"
Entreri started to ask, but he shook his head and dismissed it. Was there ever any purpose in asking this one how he knew the things he knew?
"Regis told me that you had come out here," Jarlaxle answered anyway, which of course told none of them how he had found the extra-dimensional chamber. He did have that eye patch, though.
Jarlaxle looked to Wulfgar.
"You are an uncle, my friend," he said with a grin. "Of sorts, I suppose. And yes, the daughter of Drizzt and Catti Bree is as beautiful as you would expect."
"I must get home," Wulfgar said.
"Perhaps that would be best for all of us," said another, and the foursome turned as one to see the approach of Ivanel and Kimuriel. "You heard?" the priestess asked Wulfgar and Entreri. Entreri tossed her the clairaudience disc.
"We heard." "The drow are leaving?" Wulfgar asked.
"All of them," Ivanel confirmed. "Already on the march, or the run, depending on which house concerns you. They flee to the corridors of the lower Underdark, and I expect that many different routes will be used as we, all rush back to our guarded homes."
"Well, not all," Jarlaxle quipped.
"Where do you see Brecon d'Irth in all of this?" Kimuriel asked Ivanel. "I'm not sure that is where I see myself in all of this," Ivanel answered. "There are no examples of that which is about to befall us all, I fear."
"Just the memories of Ivanel," said Kimuriel, and Ivanel nodded.
"Return the ring to Catti Bree as I bade you," Ivanel told Entreri, "for I must be away now to fight for my home. My real home, and not the one that has been infected for 2 millennia. She looked to Zach. "Will you join me?"
"I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what just happened."
"And I don't know what just happened either," an annoyed Jarlaxle pointed out.
"I resist telling you, because I know that you cannot comprehend the magnitude of it," Ivanel started. "But then again, perhaps you particular too, more than most others, will understand enough to appreciate it. And I'm certain that Kimuriel here will fill in more details in short order. The truth is, you don't know Menzo Berenzon. Not even you, Jarlaxle, who has spent your life trying to figure it out. You cannot understand the hope that brought us to the great cavern those millennia removed. Yes, hope. It was not anger that brought us there, nor fear. It was hope. We fled a world of tyrant queens and insane kings, a place of unending war and injustice. We found a sanctuary, a deep cave, full of Phaezrus magic, though we did not understand that at the time, and easily defended. A sanctuary, I say, and indeed, that is what the word Menzo Berenzon then meant in the ancient tongue of the drow. 100 families, she continued, 10,000 dark elves, and each had a say in their family, and each family had a voice in the plenum, and the largest family spoke those concerns in the conclave,
which you now, and only, know as the ruling council.
We were not rulers then as much as servants, heeding the words of all the drow. And it was Lady Lolth that led us there, before she was called the Spider Queen. Ivanel gave a little laugh and shake of her head. I remember well now that my namesake, bought spiders ugly little things, and quite terrifying back then, she added. But like many things I thought ugly and wrong, I and all the others came to see them as normal and good, even exalted as the years passed.
Were men on this conclave? Jarlaxle asked. This plenum, even?
Another helpless laugh came from the woman. No, sadly, Ivanel replied. I do not pretend that it was idyllic, nor that we were far removed from the barbary and injustice we tried to escape. Even so, I insist, this was not the Menzo Berenzon you have ever known. When I see our city as it is against the vision of what it was, I am appalled and almost without hope.
Almost.
But I will hold that hope tightly to my heart, because the struggle is worth it.
Zack looked confused, as did Jarlaxle, but Wulfgar was nodding.
I just told you, but I do not expect you to understand, Evenel said to them. Just hope. And my Aunt Quenthal cannot tell the others.
Your Aunt Quenthal? Jarlaxle asked, drawing a wide grin from Evenel.
She is, after all. She cannot tell the others, particularly not the other matrons, for they do not have the gift that she and I have been given.
The memories of Evenel the Eternal, Jarlaxle reasoned.
And the ability, because of your lieutenant here, to view those memories separately and from afar, without the emotional, visceral attachment to them that led my namesake, indeed I have to say that led me, for in this context, her actions truly become a part of me, to do the things I've done.
Jarlaxle and Zack exchanged helplessly puzzled looks.
To see the beginning and the end without the middle, Evenel told them, to see the effect starkly, without the steps of the cause.
Jarlaxle gave a little gasp and nod.
The hole is dug one handful at a time, said Zack, catching on as well.
The darkness is deepened one lie, one act at a time, Gamoriel agreed. Wish me well, my friends, for your stake in this is no less than my own, Evenel finished. King Brunner will win here now. The battle is almost over.
Luskan is soon reclaimed, Gamoriel added. Evenel bowed to them all and took her leave, disappearing into the forest.
I expect that you will shed light on this, Jarlaxle said to Gamoriel.
Evenel explained it quite well, the psionicist replied.
And you weren't surprised at all? How could you know?
The hive mind of the Illithids is a vast repertory of knowledge, Gamoriel answered. A great library, the greatest library, full of musty thoughts in unknown places.
So you told Evenel and Quenthal? A startled Jarlaxle asked.
I led them to their own memories, nothing more, Gamoriel explained. I did not know exactly the end of that path, but it had become clear to me that the path would show them the truth of Loth, and that revelation would, so I hoped, and so I bet with my very life, turn them away from the Spider Queen.
Jarlaxle answered with an uncustomary,
At least that, Zack Nefane agreed. So you learned this from the Illithids, Jarlaxle reasoned, speaking very slowly and following his developing thoughts carefully. And the memories of Evenel the Eternal taught the truth to Evenel and the matron mother of Menzo Berenzon.
Yes.
And the memories of Evenel the Eternal were given to Evenel and to Quenthal by...
By Methyl Elvidon, Gamoriel stopped short.
By an Illithid, Jarlaxle remarked. It all goes back to the mind flayers.
It wasn't often that Jarlaxle saw Gamoriel O'Blodra flustered, but he was then, obviously so.
Or maybe even further, the clever mercenary added, stabbing a finger into the air as if in epiphany. By Methyl Elvidenvelp, who was instructed to do so by...
Gamoriel started to answer, but stopped short again and merely laughed at the deepening absurdity.
By Gronth Beanri, Jarlaxle answered his own question. It makes one wonder who it was that inspired Gronth to begin such a tale as this.
Unwittingly, Gamoriel said.
Probably, Jarlaxle agreed. But Gronth is often in the company of... demons? Handmaidens? It was until recently, after all, the Archmage of Menzo Berenzon.
Perhaps there is no deeper cause or greater force behind this change or revelation or whatever else you might consider it, Artemis Entreri offered. Maybe it just happened.
Or maybe it was an unforeseen result of a demonic inspiration, Kimuriel added. Or a miscalculation by Lolf.
Or exactly what Lolf wanted to happen, Jarlaxle suggested.
Or maybe, Jarlaxle started to add, then stopped and smiled rather wickedly at Kimuriel.
Yes, he mouthed cryptically.
Kimuriel narrowed a glare at him. He knew what was coming.
My friend here knows the Illithids well, Jarlaxle told Wulfgar, Zakan, and Treri. And this one, Kimuriel, he has for centuries wanted revenge on Menzo Berenzon for the fall of House Oblodra.
By rescuing the matron mother Bayenri, Kimuriel replied, with as much sarcasm as the psionicist had ever managed.
Ah, yes, true that, Jarlaxle agreed, feigning defeat. It escaped me that you were without the strong sense of irony to go that delicious route.
Jarlaxle turned to the others.
So we have it then, he declared. It was the Illithids, a grand and brilliant plan. Or it was Lolf herself ever making chaos for her enjoyment. Or it was one of her great rivals then, perhaps Demogorgon, blowing up the whole damned Lolfian world on Faerun.
Or it was nothing at all beyond the epiphany of two women in position to make a difference, Treri said dryly. He sighed and shook his head, then looked up at Wulfgar, who stood beside him.
You see, my friend?
He asked, with sarcasm exceeding that of the others.
This is why we can't have good things, good thoughts, simple joy or hope.
Jarlaxle laughed loudly at that, amused. But there really was a nagging doubt here about all of it. The most important lesson he had learned in his desperate struggle to survive in Menzo Berenzon was that nothing, nothing was as it seemed. Not ever. But how he wanted to believe that this time would be different. He saw that magical energy there as clearly as if Catti Bree had planted a beacon on the ground where lay his skewered robe. The robe of the Monastery of the Yellow Rose. The robe of a master given to him by Grand Master Cain, who had warned him about this transcendence. A pang of remorse filled Afrafrenfir commonly throughout his scattering thoughts, and that regret pulled at his dispersing consciousness like a great ocean whirlpool, moving them around and around and inward, coalescing once more. Now he heard the magical call more clearly still, Catti Bree announcing the birth of her child, her daughter, Drizzt's daughter. Afrafrenfir was about to reconstitute his mortal body. Anyone looking on the courtyard of Thornhold would have seen it as bits of magical light cascading across the ground like a knot of baby toads hopping to a common point. Drizzt's daughter. He had to relay that message. How could he become a mere man again and not tell the scattered remnants of this drow he had come to love as a brother? The knot of toads unwound once more. A determined monk reaching out to those fleeting bits of Drizzt O'Urden yet again, this time with the power of certainty behind them. Afrafrenfir felt the residual magical energy keenly and understood that it was already fading, that he hadn't much time, and understood, too, that it wasn't strong enough for him to take Drizzt O'Urden back to the courtyard of Thornhold with him. Alas! Artemis and Treri gave the ring to Wulfgar to return to Catti Bree. He wasn't ready to go back to Gontalgrim then. He wondered if he would ever return to that place.
You will go find Dalia? Wulfgar asked.
The assassin shrugged, even shook his head a little bit. Too much had happened to him here this day. He couldn't deny that Dalia had indeed come for him at great personal risk, or that he cared for her on so many levels. But the only thing that Artemis and Treri knew in that moment was that he didn't know anything. His encounter with Sharon, with the physical manifestation of conscience, his own conscience, was not diminishing. The power of it hung over him, frightening him, giving him hope. He just didn't know anything.
He suspected that Dahlia wouldn't support the changes that had come over him. He could explain his epiphany over and over to her. But could he really? Could anyone understand such a thing as the cocoon Sharon had put around him without experiencing it? Or perhaps it was part of Entreri's own redemption to make Dahlia understand. She was another lost soul, of course, and had been for a long, long time. Dahlia had been scarred in more than her body. Her heart was crossed, no doubt, with dark lines of mistrust and anger. Even that last notion overwhelmed him. He was to be her teacher. He, the prized assassin of Kalimport. He almost laughed out loud, but instead just walked away. Into the forest a short distance, he heard Jarlaxle coming quickly behind him. The mercenary said not a word. The tormented Entreri was truly glad of that, but just walked up beside and matched his every step. Soon after, Jarlaxle draped an arm across Entreri's shoulders, and the assassin hadn't the strength to shove it aside. He was kidding himself again, he knew. He didn't want to shove it aside. He wasn't sure of where he was going until he was almost there, turning onto the path that led into the meadow. All was strangely quiet now, and remarkably empty of drow and driders and goblinkin. Indeed, only a solitary figure remained, one the two walking companions recognized. They joined Thibbledorf Puent as he stood before the web, hands on hips.
"Ye see it?" the dwarven vampire asked when they arrived. "Ye see what it did?"
"I did," Entreri answered before Jarlaxle could.
"Turn them spidery drow things back into elves," Puent exclaimed.
Jarlaxle gasped.
"All of them," Entreri confirmed. "Even El and Quenthel weave this. I don't even know what to call it."
"The driders went through it and became drow once more?"
Jarlaxle asked, his voice shaky.
"You cannot..."
"They did," said Entreri.
"Hundreds and hundreds of the damned things," Puent agreed.
Jarlaxle fell to the side a step and stood as the dwarf had been, hands on hips, shaking his head. "I see that I have a lot to learn about what happened out here."
"Kimoriel will tell you," Entreri answered.
On a sudden impulse, the assassin pulled a weapon from his belt. He didn't know why and had no idea what might happen, but he threw his jeweled dagger right at the web. It passed through with a great flash of purple-black energy, then fell to the ground beyond. There it sparked and flipped about, smoke pouring from it.
No, not smoke. Spirits. Souls trapped within the foul thing, coming out in droves. Souls taken over the course of a millennia and more of deadly, evil use, flying free into the multiverse at last, leaping and spreading, climbing into the sunlight and fading fast to eternity.
"I,"
Thibbledorf Puent howled, and with no more thought, he followed the dagger, leaping through the web. Another flash of that deep purple light exploded, and the dwarf stumbled and tumbled onto the meadow grass beyond. He tried to bounce up to stand, but could not, and fell forward onto his hands and knees and began vomiting violently, black mucus pouring from his mouth. Jarlaxle ran to the left to go around the oak that anchored one end of the web. Artemis and Treri took a more direct route and did not slow despite Jarlaxle's cry of, "No!" He walked right through the web. But there was no flash, and Entreri wasn't thrown to the ground or slowed in any way. He got to Puent before Jarlaxle arrived and put his hand on the dwarf's back.
"Free,"
Puent managed to proclaim, before another gout of black fluid fell from his mouth. Entreri held him through the vomiting and convulsing, and when it was over, Puent laughed, and there was such joy in it, such freedom.
"Free,"
he said again. And he tumbled to the side and rolled onto his back.
"It took the curse,"
he said, Jarlaxle and Entreri leaning over him.
"Aye, and to be sure, but it killed me to death," Puent, Jarlaxle said.
Ye tell me, king,
Puent gasped, choking forth another splash of the foul liquid.
Ye tell him that his Puent died happy, that he died free.
His voice trailed off.
No,
Artemis and Trary declared, and he slipped one arm under the dwarf's back, the other under Puent's hips, and hoisted him into his arms, carrying the heavy armored dwarf as if he was a child.
No,
Artemis and Trary declared again, and he started off for Gauntlegrim. The whole world's gone mad, Jarlaxle said, standing alone on the field, hands on hips once more. He noted a glimmer to the side and laughed, then walked over and plucked the jeweled dagger from where it had stuck in the ground. This could be fun, the rogue said, following the path Entreri had taken. And profitable. Jarlaxle regarded Entreri again, carrying the heavy Puent, almost staggering under the weight, but determinedly pressing on. Jarlaxle had several magical items that could lessen that burden, or could indeed cart Thibbledorf all the way. He shook his head at the thought, though. Artemis and Trary needed to do this. Led by Malavozel Amvas Tol, as most of them had been in the Abyss for many years, the vast army of reformed drow elves, driders returned from the grave, and the many driders who had come to the surface in the service of the various houses, marched as one behind the banners of House Baenri. None had pledged allegiance yet, but the course seemed obvious to all of them. They understood the truth of Loth because they had seen the awfulness of her worst wrath. The unspeakable torment had burned into them a hopelessness that only now lifted to see a glimmer of hope. The glimmer shone from the woman who should have been among the most hated of the group. But it was indeed the very same matron Mother Baenri who had given them hope and who now promised them a very different future. Baenri's soldiers and Malavozel's closest advisors filtered among the long lines, identifying the new recruits and organizing them into battle groups in case they encountered another drow house on the long journey. One former drider watched with trepidation as a trio of soldiers approached.
Welcome, one greeted him. Are you returned from the Abyss, or have you come from another house?
Or from House Baenri, a second asked. The man shrugged.
I was dead. Long dead.
What is your name?
Denis, he started, and quickly added. Nay.
Denine? The Baenri soldier asked.
Denine,
he corrected, trying to hide his nervousness. For he had heard enough of the events that had precipitated this still unfathomable event to understand that his real name, Denine d'Auerden, might bring him a fair amount of grief and trouble.
Of what house?
No house, he lied.
I lived in the Stench Streets.
The soldiers noted his name and moved on. Denine didn't know what to think or what to do. Their spirits shared in knowledge. Catibri's message was delivered. Again the knot of magical lights hopped across the courtyard, and this time coalesced, and the naked man scooped up the robes and donned them, then used those memories to go inside the keep of Thornhold, to a crack in one wall. Fishing fingers found a chain. He held it in his hand, staring at the whistle, the summoning call to the unicorn that had carried Drizzt D'Auerden for many years.